In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal: to help you score more fantasy points.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Points Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Edwin Borras, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Medical Analyst at FantasyPoints.com. Today's a little bit different. Joe and I had some connectivity issues this morning. We could not get connected. It was choppy. It was in and out. It would not have been a very efficient way to do the podcast. So just for this week, we will focus on injuries without Joe in the first segment. And then you'll hear from Joe and Tom, hopefully, this afternoon. And they will talk about the waiver wire targets, who to look at, what to do as the fantasy playoffs are upon us, I suppose. But today, like I said, for me, I'm going to talk about the injuries. So let's start in a place where I don't think a lot of attention is being placed for some reason. Maybe it's because the reports came out that this guy is healthy or relatively healthy and it's, quote, just a sprain. Let's talk about Josh Jacobs. So Ian Rapoport tweeted out that for Josh Jacobs that it's, quote, just a sprain. The reason that I take a little bit of, well, the reason I want to give a little pushback on the just a sprain part is that even though it does, you know, appear that it was, he avoided catastrophic injury, when you look at the video, when you watch the video, it looks like he suffered a high ankle sprain. And obviously that's the dreaded, you know, high ankle sprain, the three words nobody wants to hear for a running back. A lot of times these injuries look worse than they actually are. But a lot of times they are exactly what they are. Sometimes if it's considered, quote, mild, players will only be out for 2 weeks. You know, I think of Tevin Coleman from 2019. Other times it takes players a little bit longer to come back, or teams take a little longer to bring the player back. I'm thinking Christian McCaffrey in that sense. So I'm just saying, as of right now, I don't think it's a slam dunk that Josh Jacobs is active. And if he is active, depending on what his activity level is at practice, I'd be a little nervous to use him in cash. But if you're in the fantasy playoffs and Josh Jacobs is your guy, then you are probably not going to stray from starting him. If he's active, just make sure you follow his practice reports. Make sure you know what is going on at, well, in Las Vegas, I almost said Oakland. So that's that on Josh Jacobs. I also got a lot of questions about Dalvin Cook. I went back and watched Dalvin Cook, and what ended up happening with him is he was in a scrum, and it was really, really difficult to see what was going on when you have like eight other dudes' feet and legs in the way. So on the play where he fumbled on Sunday, it looked like he sprained his ankle, a lateral sprain, a sprain that is not that serious necessarily, and he did come back and play, so I wouldn't necessarily expect him to be limited in that capacity. So that's that on Dalvin Cook. I don't think it's that serious unless you see new reports coming out of Minnesota. Perhaps I buried the lead a little bit here, but now we'll talk about DJ Moore. The good news on DJ Moore. You look at DJ Moore and you basically say, uh-oh. Because the only view that we had of DJ Moore on Sunday in regard to his injury was a pretty bad view. We couldn't really see a lot. And from what we could see, it didn't look good. It looked like it could have been a calf or an Achilles issue, something. It could have been something that was a little more serious than what it ended up being. Now, after the All-22 came out, I went back and watched the better angle, which still wasn't a great angle. You see that the second that he planted to go back and catch the ball, he rolled his ankle. He just twisted his ankle the way that most people do. If you're uncoordinated like me, it probably happens more often than it should. But he turned his ankle. And it's a lateral ankle sprain. It's just a low ankle sprain. Now, I say it's just a low ankle sprain because I'm not too concerned that he won't be back after the bye. But here are the numbers on ankle sprains, right? So These injuries, you can come back from, well, NFL players can come back from, not you. NFL players come back from these injuries in about 7 days. What's even better, in this massive study done on soccer players, which is the most comparable sport for this injury with a good sample size, is that 83% of these players returned within 4 weeks. I know that doesn't help us, 4 weeks is the end of the fantasy playoffs, but essentially, it goes to show that it's not a very serious injury. So, when it comes to lateral sprains, only 13% of these sprains are considered serious. And so, digging a little deeper, you actually will see, you will find in the data, that the mean amount of missed time is about 15 days. So obviously, which is about the time that week 14 will come around for DJ Moore. And the median amount of missed time, so if you go back to, you know, fifth grade statistics, median, 50% will come before this time, 50% will come after this time, is 8 days. So it's looking pretty good for DJ Moore as of now. It's not to say that he didn't have something more serious, but we do know that he doesn't have an ankle fracture because the x-rays came back negative. I think you'll see him start to ramp up his activity later this week. We won't see the practice report, of course, but I think that'll happen. And eventually, I think you'll see him active in week 14. Of course, nothing is guaranteed in this league. Nothing is guaranteed in the year 2020. But I think DJ Moore will be back in week 14, and he definitely avoided something much more serious. If you go to my Twitter at FBInjuryDoc, I have that pinned to my profile where you can watch that video. The next dude I got asked a lot about so far over the last couple days is Calvin Ridley. So we won't spend a lot of time on him simply because, similar to Dalvin Cook, he didn't have too serious of an injury. It looked like the defender just sort of twisted his ankle as he was trying to bring him down in the open chain position, which essentially means his foot wasn't planted. His foot was up in the air and the ankle got twisted by the defender, which is less serious than most injuries, I suppose. So he came back, he played, he finished the game. I wouldn't expect him to necessarily be too limited. So, moving on to the quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater. It was a peculiar injury. It was a peculiar injury simply because Teddy Bridgewater, he threw the ball, the camera shifted, so there's no good angle on what exactly happened, but it looked like a defender came from behind him and sort of knocked him in the back and pushed him forward. The only thing that I could think of that I could deduce based off of this specific type of mechanism is that Teddy Bridgewater had a subluxation of the shoulder, which we talked about last week, I think it was on the podcast, that there's a difference between separation and dislocation. And a dislocation, subluxation are actually the same thing for all intents and purposes. Dislocations don't go in back by themselves. But the subluxations do, and I think that might have been what happened with him. You saw him get hit, and then you came off the sideline sort of hanging his left arm, dangling it down below him, trying to squeeze his hand back and forth as if he had lost sensation. That's the best guess I have. It's not a slam dunk, but essentially, what you worry about with Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think he's going to miss time, unless it's much more serious, unless we get reports that he got imaging and he's got a massive labrum tear or something like that. I don't think he's going to miss time. But I would consider that Josh Allen, when he did this very similar injury, when this happened to him in week four, the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, Josh Allen's rushing was lower than expected. We'll put it that way. It's a very small sample, but my bias is still that it matters, right? He subluxed the shoulder. Then he came back in with a brace. And so the numbers on Josh Allen are like this. And this is on my Twitter again, at FBInjuryDoc. Weeks 1 through 3, Josh Allen averaged 7 rushes and 20 yards per game. Weeks 4 through 6, which includes the week he was injured, he averaged 5 rushes and 20 yards. Weeks 7 through 9, he averaged 9 rushes and 33 yards. Week 10 and 12, he averaged 8 rushes and 35 yards. So it's a lot of numbers coming at you. Basically, what you can glean is that weeks 4 to 6, he had definitely less rushes and fewer yards gained on average. It's just something to consider when you look at Teddy Bridgewater in this non-throwing shoulder. I guess I should have led with that. This was his non-throwing shoulder subluxation, potentially. The last guy I'll talk about before I get out of your ears here is Tua Tagovailoa. This thumb injury seems to be semi-serious. They held him out for a reason. They say that he has swelling. We know that it, as of now, doesn't seem to be a grade 3 or above where they would consider surgery for this thumb injury on his throwing hand. So I would say it's somewhere between Drew Brees 2019 and Matthew Stafford week 11. I would say that that's where the severity lies, somewhere in between those 2 points. It doesn't seem like he'll need surgery, but this could be something that knocks him out another week. Overall, I would say this might cost him 2 to 4 weeks, potentially. Not that you were really using or relying too heavily on Tua, especially if you got to the playoffs. You probably didn't get there because of Tua, but it's just something to consider. As of right now, I would say he's got about a 50% chance to play. Watch his practice statuses. Make sure you are paying attention to what's going on. Also, make sure you're going to fantasypoints.com, subscribing. Make sure you're reading my injury roundup that I post every week. It goes through every single player that got injured. Well, every skill player anyway. And make sure you're reading the market report. Make sure you're going and reading all of Tom and Joe's stuff. I'm a huge fanboy of their stuff. So this has been cool to do with Joe all year. We appreciate your listens. If you have any questions, hit us up on Twitter. Make sure you hit me up at fbinjurydoc on Twitter. Now enjoy the dulcet sweet tones of Joe Dolan and Tom Broly as they talk about waiver wire targets and what to do with your upcoming playoff schedule.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. are visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it. We'll see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Tom, I want to apologize to everybody. Well, maybe I shouldn't apologize. Maybe you're happy you didn't have to hear me talking to Edwin Porras, Dr. of Physical Therapy. We had a little bit of a connectivity issue. Unfortunately for the people, Tom, you and I do not have a connectivity issue today. We're on the same page here as we break down the Week 13 waiver wire. The unfortunate thing for those people also is that there's not much to talk about on the Week 13 waiver wire. It's kind of gotten to that point of the season where you probably kind of know what your championship team is going to look like. And I'm hearkening back to a column I wrote a couple of weeks ago. If you have like a star running back on your team and there's a decent to obvious handcuff on that, now is the time to do that. You're not going to be uncorking and unearthing any gems on the waiver wire. There's no James Robinson out there. Like, this is the time to be handcuffing if you have a Dalvin Cook or a Josh Jacobs or somebody like
that. Yeah, and this time, you know, this is a very unique year, as you said in the ad read there for Indeed. We saw it with the Ravens backfield last week with Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. Like, you know, there's stuff off the field that, you know, it's not even injury related that could knock these guys out for a game. So, you know, this is, you know, more than ever this season, you want to get guys that, now is the time to handcuff. And, you know, we saw a couple scares last week with ankle issues. Josh Jacobs, that was a blowout game, but, had a little ankle issue, got pulled out of the game. It was a blowout, so they didn't put him back in. Looks like he's going to go, but now's the time to go pick up Devontae Booker. Same issue was with Dalvin Cook as well. Looks like he'll play this week, but he picked up a little bit of a scare there with his ankle. Alexander Mattison has been dropped quite a bit. So now is the time to get these type of guys now more than ever. We're down to the final 4 weeks here for most people. Some people are starting their fantasy playoffs in like higher stakes leagues here. So now is the time to handcuff your guy or even like somebody else's guy. It doesn't even matter. Like maybe you're in a league and You're kind of thin at running back, and you've seen Josh Jacobs is a little bit banged up recently. Maybe you go out and get Devontae Booker. So now is the time to do that kind of stuff.
Well, Tom, first and foremost, you have two teams on bye in week 13, yes, which is uncommon. Tampa Bay and Carolina. And, you know, I know there have been some struggles here, but these are two useful teams for fantasy. So you're going to have to replace some guys here. And we expect Christian McCaffrey to be back after the week 13 bye. But hey, you got 9 starts out of Mike Davis. And he was in total points, he was a low end RB1. And you know, thank you for your service, Mike Davis, but you might need somebody to come fill in the next couple weeks. And Tom, outside of like the handcuffs, like a Devontae Booker, and I'm sure Edwin talked about Josh Jacobs' injury, and I'm sure he talked, Dalvin Cooks didn't seem very serious. He came back in the game. But, you know, Alexander Mattison's out there. Aside from the handcuffs, there is one name that stands out to me, and you just wonder if maybe Sean McVay has decided Cam Akers is the guy who's going to give us some explosion in the run game, and we're going to go to him. And he's rostered in just 29% of Yahoo.
Yeah, I hope so, Joe. But, you know, I'm skeptical that they actually will, you know, move away from this three Batman backfield. But, you know, Akers has clearly been the better option since their bye week. You know, just, you know, having way more success. You know, I forget what it is. I wrote it up a bit yesterday in our stock watch that Henderson has had like 30 opportunities. And, you know, since the bye, and he's produced like 80 some yards. You know, Cam Akers did that in one game last week. You know, 9 carries, 84 yards. A lot of it came on a 61 yard carry, but he's been, you know, much more effective in recent weeks. And, you know, he's getting out of that rookie phase. And, you know, maybe Henderson is starting to wear down a little bit too. You know, he was a guy that was used heavily in the season. You know, he played in that Memphis offense and, didn't really play last year. So maybe he's hitting a bit of a wall. So, you know, maybe we're going to see a bit of a role reversal here. Maybe Akers is the top guy out of those three. Maybe he can at least have some flex, you know, appeal, you know, at the running back position here. Henderson is definitely a guy I don't want in, want to be using right now. Malcolm Brown, you know, this guy's just not going to go away. They like him in the as a pass pro and in you know, passing situations, but which is a little bit frustrating for us. But Akers has definitely shown a little bit here. Maybe that role, you know, just get us to like 12 carries a game. We can do something with that. So maybe that's coming down the road here.
We can work with 2-man rotations. We can't work with 3-man mm-hmm. rotations. Very rarely do 3-man rotations. There have been some, but very rarely do 3-man rotations work out for fantasy purposes. Now, Tom Brady is on bye. Tom Brady has struggled relative to what we expect from Tom Brady, but he's been a really good fantasy quarterback for the most part. So you might have to replace him this week. Fortunately, this is a really good quarterback streaming week in week 13.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, you know, immediately comes to mind here is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, the guy, you know, he had a bad week one game, but ever since then, you know, if he's been the starter, he's putting up fantasy production. And I think, and, you know, this isn't just a one-year sample. This dates back to the end of last year whenever he was quarterbacking this offense. 18-plus fantasy points and 6 straight starts. And you know, it wasn't great last week, but he still got to the 2 touchdown mark, 257 passing yards against the Jets. And this schedule looks like he could put up some production here. He's got Cincinnati this week, Kansas City, which could turn into, you know, a little bit of a shootout, New England and Las Vegas here in the fantasy playoffs. So, you know, we don't know what the deal is with Tua Tagovailoa here. He has the throwing thumb injury. It sounds like he's going to be out at least another week or two. And, you know, if he has the schedule here, if he beats Cincinnati and if they're competitive against Kansas City, I think the Dolphins and the coaching staff would have a tough time going back to Tua, you know, heading into the playoffs here. This team is live, you know, heading into those AFC playoffs. So, you know, if Fitzpatrick puts some good, you know, put some good football out there over the next week or two, I could see him starting the rest of the games this season.
Kirk Cousins, he's been kind of hot recently. And, you know, Dalvin Cook, maybe he's not 100% and they decide they have to throw the football a little bit more. I understand why fantasy players are hesitant with Kirk Cousins, because you always wonder, is that game where he attempts 14 passes right around the corner. And maybe it is this week because he does play Jacksonville. And if they have their way, then he probably doesn't have to throw the ball a whole lot. On the flip side, it is a great matchup.
Yeah, and I think another part of this is that Justin Jefferson has, you know, really emerged here the last, you know, month or so, that he's a real superstar in the league. And I think they want to, you know, they've always had Adam Thielen, want to get him involved every week. But I think they also have started to want to get Justin Jefferson involved every week. So that is, you know, overall, that's good. You know, you got a player like Jefferson that's, I the last time I looked, he was leading the league in yards per reception. You know, so you got a guy that's making a lot of big plays. Adam Thielen is the best red zone target in the league. You know, it's resulted in a lot of fantasy points in recent weeks. You're right. We are worried. They're about 10-point favorites against the Jaguars this week. Is this the week they get a 2-score lead in the second half and we see, 25 carries combined for Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison? Yeah, that's a possibility, but hopefully they build that 2-score lead with a lot of production from Jefferson and Thielen. So I'm just going to start to show a little bit of trust here in Cousins. And they also have I was looking at the totals. It's sitting around 52 points and, 52, 53 points. And whenever you have the spread there, the implied total is sitting right there at, four plus touchdowns there. So a lot of fantasy production could be coming out of that game for the Vikings here.
We have obviously more options to talk about here, Tom. You have a bunch of guys that I don't feel like dedicating a breath to, like Frank Gore and DeAndre Washington. You have those covered in the Week 13 waiver wire article up at fantasypoints.com. I do want to touch on a couple of receivers, and we've discussed Nelson Aguilar a bunch on here. He's been like a wide receiver 3. He's not going to change your team. He's not going to change the chemistry of your team, but he's going to help things out. Rashad Perriman actually still produced a decent game with Sam Darnold at quarterback, but Tom, watching Sam Darnold in that game for the Jets, I wasn't exactly inspired. And if you were wondering if Sam Darnold coming back into the lineup was magically going to turn Jamison Crowder into a wide receiver 2 again, that did not happen.
No, it really hasn't. Yeah, Perriman is scary, but the guy has been making plays every week. They're at the very least, they're drawing up deep targets for him every week, and came through with touchdowns in the first couple weeks. Obviously the Jets couldn't find the end zone with Sam Darnold, which, make him a little bit of a, sketchy wide receiver 4 going forward. But, one guy I'm really looking at, you touched on the Buccaneers and the Panthers both being on bye. That's 6 usable, those are 6 guys that are usable fantasy pieces with Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, and DJ Moore. So people might be, searching for a guy that they can plug and play this week. And Gabriel Davis would be a guy I would look at. He's open in 97% of Yahoo leagues. And we've seen John Brown, whenever he's out of the lineup, he's played just heavy snaps. Seen a solid snap target share. I think it's sitting around 15%. So, and we know that the offense skews a little bit more pass heavy with Josh Allen. So, I think he's a guy that you could look for, maybe 6 to 8 targets this week. And, he came through with a very big line last week, 3 for 79 and a touchdown. So, not the easiest matchup against the 49ers. That's the only reason I'm, head over heels, but definitely a guy that's out there if you're really hurting and been counting on those Carolina and Buccaneers receivers recently.
And Tom, there's some other low-end guys out there. If you're really desperate, Larry Fitzgerald tested positive for COVID-19, obviously, last week, and who knows when he'll be able to be back. But Andy Isabella's out there, and Kyler Murray. The problem with Kyler Murray is you wonder if that shoulder's affecting him at all, but Andy Isabella's been getting some snaps, obviously, in Larry Fitzgerald's stead.
Yeah, he's he's playing a lot more. He played 55% of the snaps last week, saw 6 targets. And like you said, Kyler Murray isn't really pushing the ball downfield right now with that AC sprain in his right shoulder, so it's been a lot of shorter targets, but if they do uncork one deep, it could be to Isabella. He's capable of breaking a big play and taking one to the house here. So he's a guy that's trending upward, available in 99% of leagues. And Another guy on the real low end is Colin Johnson for the Jaguars. DJ Chark was out last week, the rib injury. He could be, you know, out another couple weeks here. Chris Conley is dealing with a hip injury, but, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, the second team offense, third team offense, working with Mike Glennon for all these weeks, showed a little bit of chemistry with him. Saw basically a 23% target share, scored a touchdown, had 96 yards. So maybe that could continue here. Even if, you know, maybe if Conley does get back to full health, maybe they continue to give Colin Johnson more snaps. They're starting to get into evaluation mode there, obviously, in Jacksonville. So maybe he's a guy that on the real low end, if you're playing in a 14-team league or a 16-team league, you could consider for one of your last starting roster spots right now.
Tom, we're gonna be back to talk to the subscribers at fantasypoints.com at 8 p.m. tonight. Initially, it was gonna be 5 p.m., but it now is going to be 8 p.m. again because the Steelers-Ravens game moved to Tuesday. So we're going to be back 8 p.m. Eastern to talk to the subscribers. We actually had, because we simulcast.
Yeah, I know a lot of leagues have pushed back their waivers too, Joe, to, you know, because of the Wednesday start for the Steelers-Ravens. You probably, in most of your leagues, have an extra 24 hours to set lineups, so you might not be you know, pressing to do your waivers here, but we'll still be doing it at 8 o'clock on Tuesday. You got a little bit of extra time, maybe a little bit more news will come out, but we'll still.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, something could change with that Steeler Raven game at any minute. Like if there are more positive tests, that game's getting bagged. So
yeah. Or if Baltimore complains a little bit more, maybe they'll move it back to Thursday, but
yeah. Like, I mean, I know the situation's different with Baltimore and Denver, but like Denver's probably not exactly happy right now. Like, oh, you know, they're coddling Baltimore, one of the marquee franchises, you know, like, so, yeah, but I mean, Baltimore still isn't going to have Lamar Jackson, but if this game gets bagged, no, they could have him in week 18. I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Well, they already pushed back the week 13 game a couple days for him, so Lamar Jackson will be able to play in that game. But anyway, as a Steelers fan, I'm a little salty. I was looking forward to watching that on Thanksgiving, and it's just like, it feels like the game that we'll never see, but hopefully we can. Hopefully we get that game in the books here very soon.
Yeah. All right, Tom. We'll talk to you a little bit later. It's finally cold in South Carolina, which means December 1st, it's become cold in South Carolina. It's 40 degrees today. I hung Christmas lights in a shorts and a t-shirt, but not today. It is officially week 13. It is officially cold weather season. And who knows how much more football we're going to get, but we're going to be with you every step of the way. Follow him on Twitter at Tom Browley. Follow me on Twitter at FG_Dolan. Follow the site on Twitter at Fantasy Points. Fantasy PTS. there's somebody who has that is squatting on the Fantasy Points name.
Maybe we'll get it someday.
Yeah, look, Twitter's going to make some changes in 2021, so we'll see if we can get that. But everybody, thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Waiver Wire Podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We will be talking to you on the live stream later tonight.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.